starts right now.
Provided in the backup disproportionately affects District 4, specifically businesses. I'm not someone to complain without a solution, so I will be presenting a consistent MSBU for the entire county, because that's what we are, one community and one county. Compared to the provided proposal, the consistent MSBU slightly reduces the cost for residential properties.
So Ashley Hoffberger, Commissioner for District 4, yesterday, opening up early, the format usually for the county commission is that if there's an agenda item, whether it's a discussion or a voting matter, this was a discussion item, the question of how much and how to charge people to provide for fire protection. You may have heard the phrase, the MSBU, it's a Municipal Services Benefit Unit. We come up with these terrible ways of describing things. It's a property tax that's based on the fact that you have a property, not based on the value of the property. it's meant to go for some particular purpose. In this case, it's fire service. So you pay, if you're a homeowner, you pay $125. Everybody pays $125. Used to be lower. They're wanting to raise it. And then if you're a business owner, there's a variety, but it's kind of by the square footage. Okay. Which makes it not exactly an ad valorem, which would be by the value, and not exactly a straight fee. It's a size base. But in any case, it's a fire service property tax, okay? But we call it these crazy things that are hard. And the alternative, by the way, is an MSTU. We're so good at these names, which is a municipal service taxing unit. That means that it is based on the property value. It's an ad valorem tax. It's mills, like on your regular property tax. So anyway, in Escambia County, we have, if you own a home, you pay $125. Out on the beach, you pay a little bit more, $200 and something. And then they're wanting to, the proposal, and by the way, the story about this proposal has been that Wes Moreno came up with this idea. I don't know whether Wes came up with it or not, but I feel pretty sure that Wes didn't just go out on his own and be like, all right, we're going to raise property taxes. Wes got into conversations almost certainly with Stephen Berry and most likely with Chairman Kohler and perhaps with others. Somebody came up with this idea. And again, I don't think it was, Eric Gilmore, Director of Public Safety, although maybe. And I don't think it was, Wes Moreno all on his own. I think the problem is that the amount of money raised through this doesn't cover the entire cost of ECFR, Escambia County Fire Rescue, every year. So for a couple of years now, the general fund, or the regular ad valorem property taxes, has had to compensate for a shortfall in the MSBU fundraising. And now we're talking about another $10 or $12 million a year that they want to make up. That's kind of the backdrop here. And the question is how to do it fairly. Well, again, back to structure of meeting stuff. Typically, you don't talk about, in Escambia County, you don't talk about the issue until you get to it in the agenda. Ashley Hoffberger's like, I am not waiting for the agenda. This is my beginning comments in the meeting. All the commissioners, if there's the public talks and the commissioners share their thoughts about whatever they want to share their thoughts about, it's usually community notes, went to this grand opening, somebody had a funeral, whatever. Ashley Hoffberger's like, you ain't going to make my beach people pay more, because she represents the eastern half of the city and also the beach.
And I want to be clear, public safety is a non-negotiable. Every resident and every business owner deserves reliable fire protection, and they deserve to be taxed fairly. Under the current proposal, businesses on the beach would see their fire tax raised by nearly 1,100%. That is not just a rate adjustment, it's an undue burden on our community that already contributes heavy to the county's bottom line.
And you had Sharon Regan, who works with Mike Penzone, I guess, at Casino Beach Bar and Grill and the pier and all of that, and she says that their current, if you put this into place, their current is around $4,500 a year for property taxes. Their, after this goes into place, would be about $55,000 a year for fire. So, again, an 1,100% increase. That's 11 times as much, if you want to think of it that way. And she says, look, we like to do business, but
to put that in
perhaps easier to understand terms, your typical grouper sandwich is $18.99. It will go over almost $40 for you to have a grouper sandwich at the beach now.
Now, that is not an 11 times increase, but remember, if you're not increasing all of her costs by 11 times. You're increasing this one slice of it, but she says in order to make up and break even on paying off that massive fire bill, that's what you would be dealing with. And again, Ashley Hofberger says it's just not fair to charge people on the beach the massively greater amount than you charge people on the mainland, because on the mainland, the proposal, again, the proposal, and it was just a, you know, it was not a vote yet. It was just a conversation, was to go from 125 to 226, which is about an 80% increase, something like that. And the alternative, and the one for on the beach, is to go from $200 a year, 201, to 454, and then, you know, the business one to get jacked up even higher.
It's not just a popular destination, it's an economic driver. And yet we are asking these businesses to pay far more than the same level for the same level of services that other residents and other businesses receive at a fraction of the cost. It's not just about the numbers, it's about principle. Every business in Escambia County, whether it's in Century, Warrington, or the beach, deserves to be treated equitably. We cannot justify placing a heavier burden on one group simply because of where they are located.
Okay, so the basic question here, 437-1620, feel free to weigh in with your thoughts, observations, whatever. The basic question is, how much money do we spend on fire service protection? Is that cost going up? And the answer is yes, it's going up. How much more money do we really need to spend every year in order to, I mean, what's the real true cost? Okay. And then what's the fair way to pay for that service? Because there's a lot of ways you can pay for a basic governmental service like fire protection. One possibility is that you can do just a straight ad valorem property tax. Like you could literally just do it out of property taxes, out of what's called general fund. That means that people with expensive houses pay more and people with less expensive houses pay less. And then however you want to do it with businesses. One of the weird kinks in doing a straight ad valorem is that apparently charities wind up being exempt. So even though churches, which this has become kind of an issue in Santa Rosa County, kind of learning a little bit from experience. Remember last year the bill was changed, or the law was changed about in Tallahassee relating to fire service in Santa Rosa County. And so all of a sudden you have churches who had been experiencing tax exempt status when it came to fire were paying thousands, even tens of thousands of dollars, like 16, I think was the max, you know. So churches who had been paying nothing were now paying $16,000 a year. This is still unresolved. This is a big issue in Santa Rosa County. So in Escambia County, you know, again, because of the exemption or non-exemption, you know, obviously churches can have fires. Somebody has to provide for that and pay for that. Schools, charities have fires, and somebody has to provide for that and pay for that. And the question is, what's the fair way to do that? Anyway, so property tax is one way. You can have it. You can do specialized taxing like the MSTU. That's the one where it would be by the property value, but for the purpose of fire only. You could do MSBU, which is what we had been doing, which is a flat fee or a percentage based on square feet or something like that. And, I mean, these are all open questions because everything is up for discussion. A couple of just thoughts, okay? 437-1620. Thought number one. And not to wrinkle it up too much, but buying, for example, the equipment, you know, the fire truck, buying or paying for the new fire station, which apparently we need to build about four new ones. Okay, that can be done with local option sales tax, but local option sales tax can only be, that's the, you know, when you pay, you buy something, there's a, you know, an additional penny on there that goes to infrastructure costs in Escambia County. That can be used for roads, parks, buildings, like a fire station or trucks or cop cars or whatever. But it can only go to that. It cannot go to salaries. It cannot go to insurance. It cannot go to, you know, ongoing costs, gasoline, stuff like that. So you have all these potential funding sources. Where should the money come from? And again, a couple of thoughts. Thought number one, yes, it's expensive to provide fire service. Okay? Obviously, it has to be done. Thought number two, fire protection is one of those things that it's actually contrary to what you might normally think of as tax justification. You know, a lot of times we tax bigger, more expensive things like property tax, right? If somebody has a $10 million home, they pay 10 times as much as a person with a $1 million home who pays four times as much as a person with a $250,000 home, you know. But fire protection doesn't flow that way because the $10 million home doesn't require 10 times as much protection or risk as the $1 million home. In fact, it's exactly the opposite way around. Typically, the highest percentage of cost for fire service is in the poor community. It is almost inverse relationship. You almost never have fires in, let's call them nice areas, and you almost always have your fires in poor areas for a variety of reasons. The homes are in worse condition. The homes are older. That means they're not as good on their fire safety build. They don't have smoke alarms, basic measures to identify that a fire is happening. People don't have fire extinguishers. People smoke. Poor people smoke more often than wealthy people. Smoking is a major risk. People use cost-saving measures in order to heat their home in the winter. They use space heaters and portable heaters, which are a much higher risk. They do weird things with their electrical outlets. I mean, like, it's just there's a whole constellation of causes that lead to people in lower-value home or lower-value communities, lower economic status communities, are they much higher risk for fire? Okay, so should the people who create the risk for the community pay more for the service that they create a risk for? Well, on the one hand, it seems like, duh, obviously. But now you're talking about a straight-up regressive tax. You're talking about taxing poor people for being poor. And or having behaviors, lifestyle factors, property values that put them at risk. And on the one hand, they are the source of the risk more, okay? On the other hand, there's something that feels super icky about telling poor people we're going to make you pay more for the service we give everybody, right? I mean, we don't normally do that, but you see why we might say that. It'd be like, well, where do the police respond to? Not to the rich areas, right? Typically, the police have to do more activity in the poor areas. And so should poor people pay more for police service? Well, pretty dicey to make that case. Not a lot of people are in favor of that. You might also say at least that if police are active in the lower neighborhoods, lower economic neighborhoods, they are actively protecting everybody else in that process. With fire, not quite the same because you're really protecting only that area. Okay, so instead of doing, you know, it's kind of the opposite of an ad valorem. It's kind of like a reverse ad valorem, you might say, would be the pay based on the risk. Nobody's proposing that. It's not going to happen that way. But the in-between is the pay per unit. That's the MSBU that we've got, the 125. And the idea there is, well, a house is a risk. And your house is a risk whether it's a, 3,000-square-foot house or a 1,500-square-foot house or 700-square-foot house. It's the house. And so we just put one flat fee on to everybody's home on that basis. The problem is that, and that's why we're at where we're at with the MSBU. It's putting aside the question of business taxes, but that's still on the individual house, and that's why we do it that way, because each house is its own risk. But again, different houses are different risks. How close are the houses together? Is there, woods around the house? I mean, and then how far from a fire station is it? You know, if you're a mile from a fire station, your house is a much lower risk than one that's 5 miles. That's kind of the break point for what they call the ISO rating, which is telling you how much risk your home carries to the insurance company because it's going to catch fire or have a fire that's going to destroy the house and require a complete rebuild. Close to the fire station, lower risk. Farther from the fire station, higher risk. Those are also factors. That's why we have to build fire stations, because we have too many homes in new areas that have been built that there's no good fire station by them, or it's not staffed. I mean, so, again, it's a complicated problem. But the basic question that they're going to ask is, how much does it cost to provide fire service? Should the risk or cost associated with fire service be spread out among people on a per house basis, on a per square footage basis for businesses, on a per value of the home basis, like property taxes, on, should everybody pay the same, which is kind of how it's set up now, although there's a beach cost versus a mainland cost, which, again, you sort of understand because on the beach it's harder to, the geography of it. And how much is it going to have to go up to break even? And can people afford that? So those are the questions. I don't have a simple answer for you. They didn't really land the conversation yesterday. There's still a lot of disagreement. There was especially intense bickering between Ashley Hofberger about how it's unjust to keep charging the beach more money and Stephen Barry, who says, well, those fine people get better services, and there's no reason to make my people in Cantonment pay for your people on the beach where it costs more to provide fire service. Okay. And by the way, the cost of fire service is going up because we got to pay the employees more. And, you know, are they being paid enough? And, you know, the minimum wage is going up. And again, this, like I said, it's a lot in this conversation. And in, you know, 15 minutes, I've tried to give you as much as I could. Because it's like drinking from a fire hose. 525 here on News Radio 92.3 Informative. Local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a fantastic selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are, you know, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, low miles, great condition, and they're going to warranty it to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they know they're giving you good cars. That's all they buy. They go out to buy good cars so they can sell them to you with confidence so you know when you're driving off the lot, you're not driving a maybe. Anybody ever driven a maybe? Anybody ever bought a maybe? We've all bought maybes. You want to buy a for sure, and they sell for sures, okay? And if, God, there happens to be a problem, they'll take care of you, okay? So that's the idea. You know, the reason why people buy new, sometimes they feel like you get a better deal. Well, because it's safe and warranted. Frontier, it's safe and warranted. That's the idea. So they want to make sure that you feel comfortable, you get a good car, and that you feel like they're going to take care of you even after the sale and follow up and make sure it's good, which they did with me. We bought a car there a couple of years ago, and we had a fabulous experience. It's the reason I like to talk about them is that experience we had buying a car. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Point.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. Today at 9, with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
There can be only one.
Twenty-eight here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news. It is Good Friday, which means, of course, the day we commemorate the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then, of course, that means Sunday we commemorate and celebrate. We don't really celebrate Good Friday. I mean, it's kind of a weird, it's one of those, maybe you should because that's the sacrifice that made the great thing possible. But, of course, you know, Sunday is Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday, the day when all Christians, anyway, celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, the proof that we have something to look forward to after we die if we confess him. 528, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Supreme Court will hear arguments on birthright citizenship next month. President Trump signing an executive order ending automatic birthright citizenship as enshrined in the Constitution's 14th Amendment. He wants to confer citizenship on those who have at least one parent who's a U.S. citizen or a permanent resident.
What's going to be interesting about this, people, it's all based on the clause and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, because, you know, it was meant to give former slave citizenship. And the idea, the question is going to be what that phrase means. The Trump administration seems to want to say that if you are not If you're here illegally, you're not subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Historically, that was not the issue. The question was, were you a citizen based on your birthplace, or were you a citizen based on your parents' blood? And so historically, the question is, you would only be not subject to the jurisdiction thereof if you had citizenship under the sovereignty of another nation through blood, which there are, I mean, I think there's only one nation in the Western Hemisphere that does it by blood. So it's gonna be a very interesting conversation in the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. There's reports the FDA is going to end most of its routine food safety inspections. Multiple health officials telling CBS News now that the FDA is going to outsource those inspections to state and local authorities.
Oh, I mean, I don't mind that. As long as they don't outsource it to the manufacturer themselves. As long right. as we don't do the Boeing treatment. You know, Boeing, please report on whether you're doing safe things. not just Boeing, okay?
Well, I mean, what could go wrong
airlines
there?
And other things as well. Yeah, food safety is something that can be handled at the local and state level. No reason it has to be a federal issue.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Secretary of State Marco Rubio in Paris today says stopping Russia's war in Ukraine may not be a reality.
We need to determine very quickly now, and I'm talking about a matter of days, whether or not this is doable in the over the next few weeks. If it is, we're in.
Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen sits down with Kilmer Abrego Garcia in El Salvador. He's the alleged MS-13 gang member deported to that nation by the Trump administration.
El Salvador's President Nayib Bukele is mocking the meeting, saying Kilmer Abrego Garcia miraculously risen from the death camps and torture, now sipping margaritas with Senator Van Hollen in the tropical paradise of El Salvador.
So the senator posted a photo of the meeting on X, but did not provide an update on the status of Abrego Garcia. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 63 degrees. It is clear skies this morning.
We are all Seminoles today. We stand by to help in any way that we can. God bless you and God bless Florida State University.
That from Governor Ron DeSantis following the tragic shooting at Florida State University yesterday. The governor said he and his family are praying for the victims. Also, he thanked law enforcement for their response.
Both for the university as well as for the city of Tallahassee. They ran towards the danger. They stopped this killer from inflicting more harm. And there is no question that they saved lives.
And DeSantis said the shooter, now identified as 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner, will be brought to justice to the fullest extent of the law. And learning a little bit more about Phoenix Eichner yesterday.
The shooter is 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner, and he's a son of a Leon County Sheriff deputy.
That is Sheriff Walter McNeil, and he says the suspect's mother was Leon County Deputy Jessica Eichner. McNeil says that she is an 18-year veteran of the Leon County Sheriff's Office, and he says that Phoenix had access to her former service weapon, and that is the firearm that was used in the shooting. He said Eichner had participated in numerous training programs through the Sheriff's Office, such as their Youth Advisory Council, so it's not a surprise that he had access to weapons. Phoenix was shot by police, but is expected to survive. Six surviving victims of that shooting are also currently in stable condition. Well, several prominent figures from around our community have reported being turned away from Governor DeSantis' press event at Pensacola State College this week. That includes Escambia County Commissioner Steve Stroberger and Mike Kohler.
Unfortunately, on Tuesday wasn't, in my opinion, the best day for our governor, even though I'm a big supporter of the governor. It came across that anyone that went against the governor in support going against Mr. Yenner as the president on the Board of Trustees of UWF was going to be retaliated against. I did not find that in the best form of leadership that I'm used to from the governor. And it was actually very petty.
And those comments yesterday from the Escambia Board of Commissioners meeting, commissioners voted to write a letter against selecting Scott Yenner as the UWF trustee chair last month. Kohler says anybody who'd voiced an opinion like that was barred from the governor's event. That included the commissioners, Pensacola City Councilman, and anybody affiliated with Michelle Salzman or Alex Andrade. Well, a convicted killer could be released from prison today. Jeffrey Abramowski. He was convicted of second-degree murder in Brevard County almost 20 years ago and was sentenced to life. A judge, though, vacated that verdict and the sentence yesterday based on new DNA evidence. Abramowski could be released as soon as today on bond, but the case is not over. He is due back in court in June. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a beautiful day today with temperatures near 79 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. Going into Saturday, beautiful weather continues with partly cloudy skies and a high near 80. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Keeping that nice weather around through that Easter Sunday with partly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees, and by Sunday night, temperatures near 68. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And again, right now we've got 63 degrees, clear skies. Our next news is at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Now let's get a look at our pre-opening market report from Your Money Now.
With Your Money Now. Columbus Gas of Pennsylvania wants to boost the monthly gas bill of typical residential customers by 11.3%, but a state consumer advocate says the change could be illegal. The gas distribution rate hike from Columbia Gas would raise the average residential monthly gas bill from $138.50 to $154.30. A federal judge has ruled that Google held illegal monopolies in online advertising markets due to its position between ad buyers and sellers. Google is simultaneously battling with the government in court while trying to fend off emerging players in artificial intelligence. Roughly 429,000 Casely portable power pods are under recall because they can overheat and potentially catch fire while charging phones, posing a burn hazard to consumers. Officials said the company issued the recall after receiving 51 reports of the chargers overheating, resulting in 6 minor burn injuries to date. Futures are mixed. Dow futures are down by more than 520 points. That's Your Money Now.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at newsradio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Morning News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, 5:39 here in Pensacola. Happy Friday. Somebody says, Andrew, you keep talking about all this fire tax stuff. It's so depressing for a Friday. I'm like, Well, we could talk about the horrible shooting. I mean, it's like there's just sometimes the news carries bad stuff. So sorry about that. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So the kind of the big local event incident story yesterday was a gas leak in which you and Pensacola Fire and Escambia EMS were all involved in making sure people were safe, right?
Yeah, it was a pretty big main that was hit while some construction was going on. And if you're anywhere close down there, you could hear it. It was gas spewing out at a very high rate. We assisted the fire department with evacuations for one block area. We shut traffic off for one block area, and it took them several hours to get it fixed. But fortunately, no injuries and no major damage.
And so what was the level of concern? Because when I think natural gas and a leak, I'm thinking, you know, flame, explosion, that kind of danger. What was the level of concern by, for example, Pensacola Energy and Pensacola Fire that was going to be the outcome? Or was it more just, well, gas isn't great to breathe. Gas is a problem for the locals.
I believe you'd have to ask them that, but from listening to it and seeing it, it was a great concern, especially you had Wesley Hidden Villa right there, just right on the same corner. So that was the first place we evacuated. But you have to always err on the side of caution. Play it like it could be a major incident. This one certainly could have.
How do you decide in a case like this? Because hazardous materials of all kinds, spills are not that common, but they're not that rare. How do you decide whether to evacuate people? And then, you know, how big of an area? Because, again, just the layman in me speaking is starting to think about, well, gosh, you know, gas is in pipes and pipes travel everywhere. And, you know, if the flame gets inside the pipes, if there happened to be a flame, like that kind of thinking. So how do you make those decisions?
Well, on this particular one, again, it was very easy because of the size and the sound and the velocity that the gas was escaping to make those decisions. But we're not in the gas business. We're always going to err on the side of caution. We're going to act as if it could be a major catastrophe. And then once the professionals get there, the fire department, Pensacola Energy, once they get there and make a determination, then we can start to stand down a little bit.
Good. And, you know, I don't know whether, you know, Chief Craner was on scene yesterday from PFD, but, you know, I know she's the local emergency response coordinator for the city. And so she's super highly, you know, capable about these things. Was she involved in this yesterday? Do you know?
I'm sure. I wasn't down there I didn't see, but yeah, I'm sure. And there was a lot of firefighters down there.
Yeah, and I know the city was really taking coordination ownership of this. So, you know, I got some stuff from the PIO from the city, too. You guys had some burglaries last week, as sometimes happens. You and I talk in the morning, and then that night the criminals think, well, you know, he's not going to be on the radio show for a while. We can do our crimes. I'm sure none of them think that.
Yeah.
But what happened on Thursday?
Thursday night was burglary night. We had two burglaries near 9th Avenue and Escalona, also 9th and Fairfield, both involving residences. Both of these residences had cameras. We're always preaching to get those cameras because it sure helps us out, and it did in this case. Suspect was found near there walking and was identified by one of those cameras, or I'm sorry, by both of those cameras at each home, and he was charged accordingly. And then a short time later, there were four females who had broken into the Blue Wahoo Stadium, and once officers arrived and surrounded that area, they were caught coming out near the back of the stadium.
Why did they break into Blue Wahoo Stadium?
Well, that I don't know, but I can tell you that all they got away with was some condiment packages from one of the food stands.
Wait a minute. They stole mustard and ketchup packets? What did they steal?
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, it sounds minor, but it constitutes burglary.
Yeah.
And when you do something like that, you don't think it all the way through. And those are felony charges. As minor as it may seem, once you are somewhere, you're not supposed to be trespassing, and then you take something, now this is burglary, and this is something that the four people are now facing.
Four women broke into the Wahoo Stadium on Thursday night, and their loot was ketchup packets? And now they're facing felony charges.
Sir. Yes.
Okay. There's choices in life. I'm trying to wrap my brain around, like, what were Thelma and Louise thinking at this moment? You know, like the caper is, all right, we're going to get in there and get a ketchup packets. No, 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 no. Get relish. No, no, no. Get mayo. No, it's going to be ketchup. Like, it's just such a, what yeah. in the, what? Wait, okay, I have to ask because it's sort of the next, drugs or alcohol were involved?
I don't know that for sure, but usually that happens.
Okay.
You know, people, it's Thursday night, there's lots of young folks downtown, and somebody gets the bright idea, hey, let's go jump the fence at the Blue Wahoo Stadium, take a couple of selfies at home plate, and then get out. But once you take something from there, now things get serious. Even though it's a packet or two of ketchup, things are now serious. So you gotta think these things through, and a lot of times when you're doing things like that, you simply don't think it all the way through.
Okay, I have not been privy to any of the morning meetings before shift at PFD, at Pensacola Police Department, PPD in the last week. I'm just going to go ahead and imagine that occasionally this story came up. This may have been something that y'all talked about a little bit. So, and I won't ask you to comment. You've got a pizza delivery robbery spate going on in a certain part of town, yeah?
Yeah, this happened in the 1300 block of Tony Street Monday night. A pizza delivery driver was robbed, and this is the second time it's happened in that particular area. So we're working on that. And, you know, I was asked a couple of days ago about not only pizza delivery drivers, but cabs and other services where it'd be DoorDash.
Yeah.
If they are able to say no, I'm not going to go into certain areas of town. And the answer to that is yes. If a delivery driver for anybody or a cab driver feels that their safety is in danger, they certainly have the right to deny service if that's what they feel like doing.
Wow. Yeah, one or probably one person might get that whole block banned from the pizza places or whatever. Man, I'm sorry. I must have blinked with my ears. Did you say you have somebody or don't have anybody, in even a suspect yet?
Nobody in custody yet.
Okay.
Still working on it.
Very good. Okay, I have a – this is kind of a – comes from a personal experience, but it's also something that I think it might be relevant for a lot of people. You and I talk a lot about, you know, leaving the scene of a crime. When you have an incident, you know, you call the police. You make sure to get a report written for clarity's sake, for law's sake, for, you know, insurance sake. My son got involved in a fender bender, okay? And it was at Walmart, and he got backed into in the parking lot. Parking lots suck. I mean, they're just hard. And the guy, you know, apologized, admitted fault, you know, all fine. And we called for a police officer, and it was really hard to get one because we were told that PPD's policy is they don't come to a parking lot, a private place, except under certain circumstances. And, you know, basically kept asking and eventually got one. And I'm so glad because, you know, Officer Darling was great. She had apparently body cam video, didn't file a written report, but there's a CAD number associated with it. He's told her that he was in the wrong. And thank God, because now 2 months later, he's completely changed his story. Like, he's telling his insurance company that my son was at fault. And we're trying to figure this out. But my question is, I thought you always call a cop from an accident. Why does PPD, is that the policy, and why does PPD have it?
Yeah, that is the policy. It's been that way for a few years now, and a lot of departments have gone to that. Minor damage on private property, accidents, we don't write a report for. Now, if you specifically ask for an officer to come out, and the reason might be the other driver, it looks like he or she could be impaired, or there's arguments going on who's at fault, situations like that, you can certainly call the police, and if you ask for an officer will respond. But minor accidents where there is no controversy going on, they take each other's information, then they can file the report online with the state. Or the officer can come give them a form to get that information in. But so we don't usually respond to those calls. However, if you ask for a Pensacola police officer to any location for any reason, you will receive one.
And I'm super glad that we pressed because, you know, it turns out that somebody changed their story, and I'm hoping that the body cam will, you know, vindicate and be enough evidence. But, yeah, I just had always thought, like, from all the years of talking about this and just generally as being alive as an adult, that you always get the cops to any accident because, you know, responsibility, possible law breaking, anything else. And so I was just surprised to hear that was the policy. Is it because it's a resource allocation thing, you know, that it's nobody's injured, there's no fighting over it or anything? Is that the source of this originally?
Yeah, it is, partially. But also, you know, because that's going to be low on the priority list, especially
sure.
if we're very busy.
Sure.
You may be there. You may be there for well over an hour. So you have the opportunity to exchange information, take photos of the damage, and then file this report online. But if there's a, you know, commercial vehicle involved, if there's injuries involved, major damage involved, then we will respond and we will take a report in
right.
those cases.
I appreciate that. And again, Officer Darling was fantastic when she showed up. Oh, by the way, just total side note, only because it's hilarious and awful. I was driving home, and at the intersection of Creighton and Davis, I was parked there at a red light. This is like a half hour after leaving the Walmart. And this lady backed into me with her truck, and her hitch hit my front bumper. Just like, what in the world is happening? And it took like FHP an hour and a half to get there. Oh, she didn't have a license that was current. She didn't have insurance. She fled the scene eventually after giving me the information. And so they're working on that one too. Like, we're apparently, and my wife had a weird fender bender where somebody was else to blame like a couple of weeks prior to that. So it was like, we are the magnets for the bad drivers, apparently. All right. We always like to end with a, and that was not you guys. That was totally FHP and it was in the county anyway, which is appropriate. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
I do, and I was asked recently when I was working an off-duty job how much the gear weighs that an officer has, and I've got an answer for that. When you're talking duty belts, you're talking body armor and other gear, the extra weight.
Wait, can I guess? Can I guess?
Can
I guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would love to hear this.
Okay, so including, assume, the modern tac vest, the belt, the taser, a gun, ammunition, handcuffs. I mean, it's got to be 15 pounds? What do you got?
It's between 20 and 40 pounds.
Oof.
So you've got to consider the duty belt, depending on the, which is 20 to 30 pounds, depending on the equipment carried.
Yeah.
You've got the body armor. Again, there are several different versions of the body armor that
the
can
plates.
Weigh between 4 and 11 pounds. And then you've got the taser, the baton, the pepper spray, the radio, and the body camera. Now, this is just the patrol officer. When you're talking about the officers in full SWAT gear, it's a whole lot more than that. So, it's a lot of weight.
I have always thought that the mere act of getting into and out of your patrol vehicle is a challenge for officers in their full gear. So, wow, 25 to 40 pounds. Wow, that's a lot. All right. Well, I guess you just get used to it, right?
Yeah, you know, ever since we went to the outer body armor, they are able to take that off for a small amount of time and rest in the air conditioning in their cruisers, and they're able to put that right back on, whereas before when it was underneath, they were not able to do that. So things are getting better. They're just not getting a lot lighter.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. At least you can, you know, unzip it and get a little bit of fresh air in your chest or whatever, so that makes sense. All right, Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for helping us understand what's going on in our community, helping keep us safe, and explaining things to our audience. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 552 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, a lot of times we make a decision and then we call somebody to help us implement it. I know that's especially true with real estate. You figure, I'm not going to call the realtor until I know what I'm doing. And I've decided that I need to get a bigger house, growing family, you know, smaller house, empty nesters, want to buy a beach home or find out if I can, you know, and want to buy a rental, whatever. And then we get the expert to help us do it. Okay, fine, I understand. But maybe back up one step in the process and get the expert to give you advice on the decision, since that's one of the values of talking to an expert. So Christina Leavenworth sells, you know, 165 homes last year, 175 homes the year before that, when the market was easy and hot, super hot. They were selling over 200, 230, 40, something like that. They're kind of getting back to where it's multiple offers now, which had been not the case for a while. But the point is, they sell a lot of homes, so they know what the market's doing. They know what you can expect and ask and what's reasonable and not reasonable and what you do have to allow and what you don't have to allow and what you can make money on if you're trying to do a rental or whatever the case may be. So ask to help you make a good decision instead of making a decision and then trying to figure out later whether it was a good one or not. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
Marcus Point Baptist Church encourages you to invite a friend to the community sunrise service inside Blue Wahoo Stadium. Reach out to your neighbors, coworkers, or even family members and show them an Easter tradition like never before. The community sunrise service, Easter Sunday at 6 a.m. from Blue Wahoo Stadium.
visit our website at PensacolaChurch.org.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the White Sands Panhandle Band takes the stage. It's one of the hottest bands in bluegrass country and rockabilly on the Gulf Coast. You'll hear everything from Marty Stewart to Marty Rabin to Charlie Daniels. At Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Don't bring any pets or glass.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
I think I need a bigger box. 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, it's been a long time since we really had great, iconic, funny brand ambassadors. You know, I think, oh, where did the music go? That's my fault. I pulled it off too fast. Like Spuds McKenzie, you know, or, right, the Taco Bell dog, or, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we can make a frivolous topic out of that. That could be a fun one. Right. Yeah. You know, or the Budweiser. You know, so I don't know. It just seems to be missing in the ad landscape these days. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, my childhood dog was named after Spuds McKenzie.
Oh, nice.
It was Spudsy.
Okay.
Loved her.
I love it.
Miss that dog.
Nothing like teaching kids to inadvertently promote Bud Light, an alcoholic drink, through the naming of their dogs. It's genius.
Well, you know, thinking about it now, it makes a whole lot of sense. No, my dad. Well, the Trump administration will reportedly start screening the social media accounts of visa applicants who've traveled to the Gaza Strip. A new report from Reuters says that directive was issued on Thursday to Secretary of State Marco Rubio. It calls for all immigrant and non-immigrant visa applications who've been to Gaza since 2007 to have their social media vetted. Four people have died after a cable car full of tourists broke loose from its cable and rolled down an Italian mountainside south of Naples. Local fire departments there say that four people were found in the wreckage. A fifth person was found injured and rushed to an area hospital.
I will tell you, when we went skiing, you know, if you're a kid, you don't think about these things. When you're an adult, you think, so what's the maintenance schedule on that, son? You know, because...
Absolutely.
And, you know,
you're
becoming
your parent.
Oh, my God, so true. You go to a swing at a park. Oh, sure, I'll just get on the swing. How exactly do they inspect the links on these chains?
Well, that's why every dad that goes to the park takes their own toolkit.
Oh, my God. And it's just, you don't know. I mean, how would you fix it? How would you know? But you're like, I'm just trusting that the last 50 years of Parks and Rec staff have done their job properly. It's, how would you know?
Well, I'll tell you, parks now are so much safer. You remember the death trap parks when we were younger.
It's just like all of the microbes that you used to grow up becoming immune to because you didn't have to kill them with everything. Same thing. We were all immune to everything because we played on, you know. I actually love the old, we're so far afield now, but I love the old Bill Cosby sketch about the playground. And they brought out the monkey bars, you know? Yeah. Killed off 423 of us in one day. Anyway,
we had
sorry,
slides
David.
That were so lubed up, your butt was on fire by the time you got to the bottom of it. You know what I mean? That's how fast you were going.
Nothing good like time. A metal slide in the sun to make good you find time. Out whether your parents really loved you or not.
This distraction brought to you by Andrew
No kidding. No, it's not my fault. You're
it's
the one with the
fault.
Story.
That's true.
Do you have a four-second story? You probably don't. All right.
Nope.
Next hour, find out why the... Blue Origin chicas are canceled. We'll tell you. Coming up in the Transgressive Memorial Service at 620.